Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. It is National Championship Day and the start of Major League Baseball. First pitch in particular for the Phillies just happened moments ago. Good thing is, as far as I know, I didn't get hit out of the ballpark yet.
What?
Just kidding. I said first pitch for the Phillies, I believe, just happened moments ago, and I have not heard of it being hit out of the ballpark yet.
Well, it's Cole Hamels pitching today. Great to have you with us here on this Monday. And Cole Hamels was expected to start this game today. The question was which team he was going to start it for, the Phillies or the Red Sox. He's actually starting it for the Phillies. National championship game is coming up tonight. Duke and Wisconsin. Dick Girardi joins us at 4:06 today from Indianapolis to preview tonight's national championship game. We'll hear from DJ then. No feel at all for this game. I know they played once, and it was at the Kohl Center. I watched the tape of it because I wanted to get a look at Wisconsin before Penn State played them on New Year's Eve. And Duke owned the game. Totally owned the game. They took Wisconsin's crowd out of it. And that is a wild, raucous crowd that they have at the Kohl Center, especially for big games, and they get into it. Duke had them silent all night. It was really amazing what they did. But the teams are dramatically different than that night. And Kevin's rolling his eyes, and he's saying, oh, no, it's... Guys.
It's dramatically different. I agree.
Suleiman, for one thing, was in that game, and he's not with Duke anymore. 14 points and 6 rebounds in that game. He's out of it. Trey Jackson had 25 in that game. If there's no foul trouble tonight, he's not even playing 25 minutes in tonight's game. So they are different now than they were that night. Today's show being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It was great to be there on Friday with everybody. Made a stop to Brewer's Outlet. I did. And could not have been treated any better by the great people there. And it was great to see everybody on hand and all of them professional, clean cut, shaven. Very nice group. And you have a bee's nest on your face.
I did. I don't have it anymore. It's now, it officially hit the mid 60s. So the.
It's 72 here.
Yeah. It's 70 here to right now, at least if you're in the sunshine right now without the breeze. But I took away the goatee this time. Went from beard to goatee, and now it's now just stubble.
I mean, to its credit, it looked really awful, but it looked great on you.
Thanks.
All right. So. Appreciate it.
Yes, hey, but it looks good on you.
Yeah, Cole Hamels starting today for the Phillies. And again, he was expected to start this game at Citizens Bank Park. Just nobody knew which team he was going to start for. One of the guys that the Phillies want Mookie Betts. And I don't see how they're going to do this if Mookie Betts is in there. I also want one of the Red Sox top prospects, too, and I'm not so sure they're in the mood to do that. The Red Sox are a team that has 5 number 3 starters. They have 5 number 3 starters in their rotation. Now, when you get to the 4th and 5th guys, it's not bad to have a fourth and fifth guy be a number three starter. But when you get to your one and your two, you've got number three starters. Now you're starting to ask yourself, well, you know, are we going to have an issue here? This is going to play out for a little while in Boston to see whether or not the Red Sox are happy with what they have in the rotation. Joe Kelly's already on the disabled list. And that will then determine what happens with Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels has pitched like a 20-game winner his last 2 years with the Phillies and hasn't even come close to winning 20 games. Not even close.
I wonder how many of those games, and I'd have to look it up myself, but I wonder how many of those games were like two-run games or one-run games.
Oh,
I mean, there were a lot of
tight ones. The vast
majority
of them. He's pitched really well the last 2 years. Ever since they gave him the huge contract, he's pitched really, really well. He's pitched to the level of the contract. The problem is, record-wise, it doesn't show up because his team gives him no help at all. I mean, no help. He doesn't get much help defensively. He doesn't get much help offensively. I mean, if he were pitching, if he pitched 2013 in Boston, he'd have been a 22-game winner. Just better team around him. But he's pitched for the Phillies in 13 and 14 since he got this contract and has received no help at all. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Here are some games where he had to provide the offense.
That's a bad moment right there.
He's the best player on this team. Toronto leads the Yankees 6-1, top of the seventh. Alex Rodriguez, warm greeting from the crowd when introduced. But he has a single and a walk so far. 6-1 Toronto. The Red Sox have jumped on Hamels and now lead 1-0.
Okay, so maybe my assumption of the first pitch going out of the park might have been wrong.
Well, there's a pitch that went out of the park. It was Dustin Pedroia. I believe Pedroia's homered. Yes, Pedroia has homered.
Where was he batting in the lineup?
Second, behind Mookie Betts.
Oh, boy.
So it is 1-0 on the Pedroia home run in the first inning. And that's what Pedroia does. Pedroia has done a great job in his career of repeatedly setting the table in that spot in the order. I mean, really incredible what he's done. First World Series game he ever played in, boom, over the wall. Game 7, Indians 2007, need to set the table, over the wall. That's what he does. Detroit leads Minnesota 4-0 top of the eighth inning. Orioles in Tampa Bay, they are scoreless top of the first in St. Petersburg. Getting underway, the 4 o'clock games include the Pirates and the Reds, the Angels and Seattle, White Sox in Kansas City, Mets and Washington. They're the 4 o'clock games. Also San Diego again and the Dodgers. Kershaw gets to see Kemp on the other side. Night games include Cleveland at Houston. The Giants are at Arizona. That's at 10. And Texas is at Oakland. So those are the games on opening day. Of course, the Cardinals beat the Cubs last night, and the Cubs made all those changes and everything and looked like the exact same team as a year ago. You got to give them credit no matter what they do. Let's change managers, let's get an ace, and let's just keep losing. Chris Bryant, 12 more days or 11 more days, and he'll be in the mix. Just enough seasoning at the minor league level to get him back in there.
Is that the line they're taking? Is that the line the club's taking, though?
But it's not uncommon. Do some research on this.
No, you're right.
Do some research. When was Mike Trout called up? Hey.
Well, I mean, the fact that they manipulate it happens a lot.
Yeah. Bryce Harper. Gregory Polanco. Everywhere you look, this has always been done. It's a big deal because the Cubs have been so mediocre for so many years that they're looking for any sliver of hope. He's the sliver of hope, and because of that, they sent him down, and now everybody's in an uproar. The union, oh, his agent, oh, they take out billboards, oh. I mean, he already has an Adidas contract worth $30,000 a year. If you're getting $30,000 a year from Adidas, normally you are an established star. But I always laugh at, well, what do you want to make him mad now? Don't make him mad, you know, because when it comes time to go free, he's years away from being a free agent. For all we know, he's Clint Hurdle as a player. Remember, a year ago, who was the guy? Let's see. Let's go back 10 months ago. Who was the pitcher in baseball? The pitcher no matter what. Who was it?
I don't remember yesterday.
Oh,
Strasburg, but it wasn't that. That was a couple of years
Tanaka.
Ago.
Tanaka.
I forgot about him.
Tanaka, oh my goodness. Look how Tanaka's unbelievable. Now, it's like, I hope he can come back. I hope he's all right. I hope he's okay. You don't know in this game. You don't know. It's one of the reasons why I would have put him on the roster to begin with. Not because I'm making him mad, but because I don't know what I'm going to have when he's 28. I don't know what I'm going to have. He could be awesome, incredible, great, off the charts, unbelievable. That's now 10-0 Red Sox.
That's not true.
Just kidding.
I mean, I realize it's not going to be a good season, but it's not going to be that horrific. Okay,
well,
maybe it is.
To be honest with you, I think the Phillies will lose 100 games.
Actually, my over-under on wins was 56.
Well, that's over 100 losses.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. I mean,
that'd be 106 losses.
Have you seen the opening day roster for the Phillies?
Now I feel like I'm talking to the grounds crew at
Who
Old
are
Municipal
these guys?
Stadium in Cleveland.
Who are now, these guys?
I mean, and we don't need to, you know, have closed captioning for people to figure out what you're saying. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're not insured with the Purdy Insurance Agency, you may not be getting the most out of your insurance coverage. Locally owned and family operated for over 90 years, the experienced team at Purdy will compare your rates and coverage among a number of nationally recognized insurers to make sure you're getting the most out of your insurance dollars. And once you join the Purdy family of customers, you'll experience service and claims handling that's second to none. Call 1-800-677-2478 to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
There's an old barge waiting down the Cuyahoga River.
Randy Newman.
That's what it feels like right now to be a Phillies fan.
If you could substitute Schuylkill in for Cuyahoga.
There you go. I don't know. Schuylkill, Cuyahoga. Yeah, you might be able to get the syllables to work if you stretch it.
Yeah. Phillies got a base run in the first. That's because the Red Sox committed an error. They also sent that player to the farm system.
Yeah.
Shane Victorino's up.
Yeah. Wait, are they in the top half or the bottom half?
Oh, they're in the top half of the second inning.
The second? Wait, that bat is way behind.
Oh, they're in the second inning.
Thanks a lot, MLB.com.
Oh, you just...
Did Ryan Howard strike out?
Hamill's pitch count is at 24. No, I'm just kidding.
Did Howard strike out in his first at-bat?
No. There had to be contact because Buchholz has one fly ball out and two fly ball outs and one ground ball out.
Right now, Hamill's ERA is 9, and I still think it's the lowest on the staff. It's going to be a long year, brother. It's going to be a long year.
Remember what I've told you about opening day? All right.
I understand. It's kind of like spring training. You don't get too excited about it.
You can hit 400 in spring training. And if you go 0 for 8 in the first two games, your average is 0. You can hit 195 in spring training. You go 3 for 8 in the first two games, and your average is 375. I drive you nuts.
No, I've come to the conclusion, and I've accepted the fact, as I know several Phillies fans have this year, because I've talked to several of them, that this year, if they get 60 wins, it's going to be a success. And you just go, you know what? I just hope I get a chance to see one of the 60 wins.
60 wins, a success. I wouldn't use that word. I wouldn't use that word.
I think if they get 60 wins, it'll be a successful season.
There's no way you could say a baseball team has 60 wins and 102 losses and had a successful year.
Well, because that's about 4 more wins than I thought they were going to have. So that would be a success to me.
Uh-oh, the Red Sox got a lot of guys on.
I'm telling you, MLB, this app stinks.
You're just a bitter guy.
Stupid app.
You get mad a lot. We noticed that at the party the other night. Yeah, we're all having a festive time. You're mad.
Just point me.
That's
to the
not being mad. Oh, Drew and Allie and I are having some laughs. Roger and I are having some laughs. Some good sports conversation. Reichley was there. Martin Lawrence and I had a great talk. And you're just over there being mad. Being bitter. We couldn't figure it out. Oh, well. All right.
You know what the free game is today?
What the what?
Well, MLB.com always has a free game. I was just wondering what the free game was today.
I have no idea.
Oh, here it is. Twins, the Twins Tigers.
Hell yeah, lock yourself in. I mean, the Nationals and Mets will be on ESPN. The Giants game tonight's on ESPN. Yeah, it'll be all right.
I will say one thing, though. When they made the Major League Baseball schedule, opening up with the Phillies and the Red Sox, that actually might have been a smart idea.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's a game I would go see. And you know how I feel about the Phillies this year. But that's a game I would go pay to see.
Well, the key is not opening day. Opening day, you're going to sell out. The key is, what are you going to draw the next two games?
You're too optimistic. I'm not sure. From what I saw early on in the stands, it was not going to be a sellout.
Okay. Well, if it's not, it's not. They then get what they deserve. Okay. As a franchise, if they're gonna lower the expectations of the franchise into the turf, you get what you deserve, right?
Well, the Phillies right now are obviously playing for the future. The problem is they have no players that anybody wants. They don't have anything in the farm system, so they can't trade anything. They can't develop anything. How do you play? My question to Ruben Amaro and the front office is, if you're playing for the future, what is the future and where do you think you're going to get it?
My future includes golf.
Maybe that's what they're thinking too. That's the only question. That's the frustration that I have as a Philadelphia Phillies fan. All right, you're going to play for the future. That's fine, but how do you do that? You don't have anybody to trade. You don't really have that many players coming up of any value. And we've talked to a lot of people that have covered the Iron Pigs all the way through Reading, and there's not much there. Go O's.
Oh, now you're going to root for them.
In the name of the Pirates, I'm not quite sure which direction I'm going to head.
I'd waited like a month to see who's doing well.
I've been known to bandwagon. Not proud of it.
We noticed you limping the other night. Somebody said, why is he limping? I said, he sprained an ankle jumping on a bandwagon.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the insurance needs of the Valley for decades. Find out why. Great prices. Great coverage. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, this week I'm featuring the 2015 Kia Cadenza, the highest rated large car in initial quality. And you'll find it also won the 2014 International Car of the Year Award. But the best part about it is you're going to be sitting in luxury. You're going to be very comfortable in this vehicle, including the leather interior plus added features, including tilt telescopic steering wheel, cruise control, the power windows, everything you could possibly imagine, including a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, 5-year, 60,000-mile bumper-to-bumper, and 5-year, 60,000-mile roadside assistance. You know what that means, Steve? If something were to happen, unusual, but if something were to happen during that 5 years, 60,000 miles, they'll pay to tow it back to Sunbury Motors, and then it will actually be taken care of, and you won't have to pay a dime. Find out more at Sunbury Motors, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf for the Kia dealership. Ford, you'll also find Lincoln and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, Wisconsin and Duke tonight for college basketball's national championship. And as I pointed out the other day, that if Wisconsin won, it would not be Miracle on Ice. I think that was my exact quote, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, it was in that range.
Wisconsin played great defense. They forced 3 shot clock violations down the stretch. Kentucky their efficiency went out the door. And what you'll find is, let's take the NBA for example. We talk about points per possession. In the NBA, if you shoot the ball in the first 10 seconds of the 24-second shot clock, NBA teams have an efficiency rate of 1.12 points per possession. It's pretty good. But if you shoot the ball in the final 4 seconds of a possession, it's 0.92. In other words, sometimes that best shot's early or mid-range of the shot clock. 10 seconds is almost to the midway point. 4 seconds, sometimes you don't get the shot you want. You're losing 0.2 per possession in the NBA based on where the shot clock is. So, Kentucky, that's what happened to them the other night. They slowed down. And when they did, their efficiency went down. And that's what happened with them. They hit, Karl Anthony Towns hit a shot with 6:37 to go. They didn't hit another shot from the field till Harrison scored with 56 seconds to go. Wisconsin played great defense. And then offensively, remember I talked earlier about what Penn State did to Michigan State on using their switches against them to get the best matchup, which Penn State did. A lot of time, they were able to get Brandon Taylor and Trice guarding him in the post. They were able to get DJ Newbill with Dawson out on the perimeter. Penn State used Michigan State switches against them. Well, that's exactly, we talk about the length of Kentucky, that's exactly what Wisconsin did. How often did you see Booker in the post against Decker? Uh-oh. Wow. Issue. And Lyles couldn't guard anybody. Every time Lyles was on somebody, you could just see the light go on. I wish Lyles nothing but the best in the NBA. I can tell you right now, the dude can't play defense. Everybody he guarded, suddenly out of nowhere, the green light went nuts. Now, tonight they'll face, we've talked about how great a defensive team Kentucky is. They are a great defensive team. But Wisconsin used switches against them. I think that's one of the reasons why the Harrisons played so much down the stretch, because I think they abused Booker and Lyles so much when they were on the floor. Because Kentucky plays man-to-man, they're not a zone team. I think they went after those two guys in switches so often with the swing offense. You know, and Bode usually runs the swing maybe once every five possessions, something like that. They ran it a few more times when those guys were in the game, because the swing offense dictates that at some point in a possession, all five guys post up. And if you can get them in a series of switches, you can get the right post up, the right matchup, then you go to town with it. Wisconsin did that repeatedly. They got the right matchup they wanted. They wanted Booker. They wanted Lyles, and they got those matchups, and they exploited them. They hit the shots, but they exploited it. And Kentucky has been a great defensive team all year. But the length of Wisconsin bothered them. Now, tonight, Duke has played great defense, especially ever since Suleiman was kicked off the team. Because what happened was, when Suleiman was kicked off the team, what they did was, they took Justice Winslow, and they moved him to the four spot. And when they moved him to the four spot, they became smaller but quicker. And their switches are tremendous. You watch how Duke switches defensively. They're really good. Really good. And I have no feel at all for tonight's game. None. I have no feel for it at all. If Wisconsin won, it wouldn't surprise me. If Duke won, it wouldn't surprise me. First game has really no bearing. Okafor is obviously going to be a tough matchup. Neither team is big on fouling, but here's what. The final four on Saturday, both games were poorly officiated. And the shot clock violation where Hayes scored that was not called was really equivalent to the play clock running out on the field goal in the Penn State-Ohio State game. Same concept. You can't review that play. Now, should you be able to review it? Yes. But under the current rules, you can't review that play. Even though that was a massive mistake. That was a huge mistake in the game. Just like it was a huge mistake here. Remember how I had talked to Bill Carollo, the head of officiating in the Big Ten? He and I had probably talked for about a half hour one night. And he said that he's been on the officiating committee talking about rules, and something he's pushed for the last 2 years is to have the play clock be reviewable. Well, the shot clock should be probably reviewable, too. I don't want too many things reviewed, because you're not going to make the game perfect. You're not going to. It's just not the way it's going to be. No matter what you do, you're not going to make the game perfect by stopping every 15, 20 seconds to see a replay of something. You're not going to make it perfect. You can make it better, but there's no need to make it perfect. Phillies didn't score. It's still 1-0 Red Sox. 1-2-3 inning. And I think that the officiating was not great the other night. Tonight, I would be really surprised if this is not a well-officiated game. I don't know who the third is, but I do know that Joey DeRosa, who is unbelievably good, and Pat Driscoll, who is unbelievably good, are two of the three guys working the game tonight. I don't know who the third is. Okay? Joey DeRosa used to work in the NBA. They're just two really good officials. And you know, I've talked about Pat Driscoll on this show before. Just two real pros. I mean, they, you know, I would be shocked if this is not a well-officiated game tonight. I thought the two games on Saturday were not well-officiated. Had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. Okay, obviously, Michigan State and Duke, I mean, there's going to be nothing there that's going to, you know, there's no call in that game where you sit back and go, wow, that turned it. No, after Michigan State ran out to its 14-8 lead after that, Duke owned them. Simple as that. Second game, yeah, there were some bad calls that benefited Kentucky. Then there were some bad calls, in particular the shot clock violation that benefited Wisconsin. But neither game was well officiated. And that is something they're going to have to take a long, hard look at the game. I know that Gino Auriemma made his statement about the men's game the other day. Like, Gino, you ought to worry about your own game. They're not exactly showing up in droves. Okay? And the men's game does need a couple things, but not radical surgery. I'm for the shot clock going from 35 to 30. I think that's a plus. A little wider arc around the bucket. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think next year in the NIT, they need to experiment in the NIT and in the CBI to see how it works with the offensive rebound instead of recycling to 30 being recycled to 20 because you're already over half court to see if maybe that makes a difference or not. Rules wise, that would be it. But officiating wise, they need to nationally sit down and really have a good, long, hard look at what's a foul up front. What's a foul in the post? Do you want to eliminate all touch fouls up front? Okay. And in the post, can you put an arm into the back? Maybe not allowed to have two hands on somebody, you know, but you have to determine something there. And block charge, I can tell you right now, 90% of the time is a block. 90% of the time it's a block. And it should be called 90% of the time as a block and not as a charge. But that's not radical surgery on the game. You know, Gino could talk about some parts were unwatchable. You didn't have a game in your sport that was anything like Wisconsin and Kentucky the other night. Oh, and by the way, the ratings off the charts.
I saw 22 million.
Unbelievable. How high? The highest in 21 years. Highest in 21 years. And this was on TBS. This wasn't on CBS. Tonight's championship game's on CBS. Now, Kentucky being there has a lot to do with it. Make no mistake about that.
And Duke.
Kentucky has a lot to do with it. You'll see, I think, tonight a really good rating for the championship game. But Kentucky, 38-0. Big story goes in. Yeah, you're right, Duke. I mean, if Duke and Kentucky are playing tonight, I think you have a record. Oh,
yeah, it would. Those numbers would be unbelievable.
But you don't have that tonight. You have Wisconsin, which has wrecked it for everybody and showed up.
Although I will say this, Steve, I think a lot of people are going to want to see, wow, this is the team that beat Kentucky. Let's see what they can do against Duke.
To a point, what Wisconsin brings to the table is a Big Ten team that has a big following and a big conference following because the number of alumni or those attached to the Big Ten are spread out all over the country. Huge schools. Penn State, huge alumni base. Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. It's one thing the Big Ten brings to the table for the most part. Not universally, you know, because Northwestern, for example, is a smaller school. But for the most part, the Big Ten brings huge schools, like huge student bodies and huge alumni bases to the table. That's part of the formula for getting a big rating across the country. Let's see. The combo was TBS, TNT, True TV. Reached 41.7 million total viewers, an increase of 24% over last year. And this is where they combine everybody together. When you put it all together, how impressive was the number? Kentucky, Wisconsin had 22.6 million total viewers. The USA Belgium World Cup at 21.5 million. The Miami Heat San Antonio Spurs Game 5 had 18 million viewers. Auburn Alabama had 13.5 million. Royals and Giants Game 6 of the World Series, 13.3 million. Final round of the Masters last year, 11 million. The other part is we've talked about, and Sandy Barber brought this up when we were talking TV contracts when we had her on the show a month ago. I talked about the TV contract for the Big Ten, which is the next major contract that's going to come out anywhere in sports. And she said, Steve, I don't know what version it's going to be in. I mean, you know, between cable, over the air, or online. Well, here's the part that fits in with that. The online streaming of March Madness on demand, up 15% over last year. Dick Girardi next half hour on the championship game, joining us from Indianapolis. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Of course you remember this. But you may not know this. It's an Olympic fun fact with Kevin Herr on the Steve Jones Show.
That's right. It's Olympic fun fact time. Doesn't necessarily have to happen during Olympic Games, but this is the 119th anniversary of the modern Olympic Games. It opened up in Greece in 1896 on this date in Athens. And that's a bonus Olympic fun fact.
Pierre de Coubertin is the one that brought it back, and he lobbied hard around the world, and it was very important to him to get the United States to be in the Olympic Games. And Pierre de Coubertin is the father of the modern Olympic Games.
The United States sent two teams. Can you name them?
A and B. All right.
Incorrect. Princeton Athletic Club and the Boston Athletic Association.
Any other fun facts? I mean, we're close to having the show completely dead. Go ahead.
Let's see. 44 athletes won medals, awards, and wreaths. 11 of them were Americans. 10 were Greeks. 7 Germans. 5 French. 3 English. 2 Hungarians. 2 Australians. 2 Austrians. A Dane and a Swiss.
And a partridge and a pear tree. 2-0, the Red Sox now lead the Phillies at the end of 2.5. Mookie Betts has homered for the Red Sox and also Dustin Pedroia has homered for the Red Sox. Toronto leads the Yankees 6-1 top in the 9th. Orioles have jumped out to a 1-0 lead on Tampa Bay middle of the 3rd. Detroit has shut out Minnesota 4-0. That's a final. Mets and Washington just getting underway. Kansas City White Sox just getting underway. Angels and Seattle just getting underway. The Reds and the Pirates at Great America Ballpark getting underway in about 10 minutes. San Diego and the Dodgers 10 minutes away. Tonight, Cleveland at Houston. Giants at Arizona and Texas at Oakland. Those are my fun facts dealing with sports that people currently want to talk about.
A-Rod got a nice round of applause in the Bronx today, and walked at his first at bat, his first return.
He also did single. Tanaka didn't last long. He got knocked out early. It's just a... Yeah. They have a list here entitled Top Events. You know what's really amazing about that? Nothing about the Olympics.
I know. I'm okay with it. I'm just doing my part to educate and inform.
And from Williamsport to Harrisburg, they're all like going, okay, where's the baseball and basketball stuff? All right.
We just did a whole lot of basketball stuff.
Oh, we're far from finished. Big game tonight. It's a reason why there are 41.7 million viewers for the semifinals as opposed to the 17 that watch what you like.
17 million, that's pretty good.
No, 17. 1-7.
I know there were three that were watching Formula E on Saturday night.
Do the police know about the hostage situation?
No, I'm not talking about the people in my house because they weren't watching it. I was the only one watching it in my house.
Who else was watching?
Than Mitchell was watching. And I know we had a friend from Hanover watching as well.
To each his own. Leadership Council announced for Penn State football. 25 players on the Leadership Council. Linebacker Matt Bainey, defensive tackle Terrell Barney, tight end Kyle Carter, defensive back Daquan Davis, linebacker Jordan Dudas, running back Brandon Johnson, linebacker Ben Klein, safety Jordan Lucas, center Angelo Mangiero, defensive end Carl Nassib, corner Trevor Williams, wide receiver Matt Zandalato, defensive tackle Anthony Zettel, junior linebacker Brandon Bell, quarterback Christian Hackenberg, Austin Johnson, Akeel Lynch, Naeem Wortman, Adam Brenneman, Grant Haley, Deshaun Hamilton, Andrew Nelson, and the two freshmen, Trace McSorley and Troy Reeder.